Chapter 9. Kira. Nathan waited outside in the passenger pickup of O'Hare Airport in Chicago, watching the taxis, shuttle buses, and cars drive by. The hectic traffic and the sound of several car horns overlapped each other in the thick and dense air. He placed his small suitcase on the ground next to him and put his hands in the pockets of his slacks. It had been a long time since he'd been to Chicago. His own father had grown up in the city, in a family of well-respected researchers and members of the Brotherhood. In his father's time, the organization grew to be well-respected. They had their moments and many questioned its clouded history. But nonetheless, his father taught Nathan to look toward the future and the time when he would replace his footsteps and become a researcher himself. Nathan learned a lot in Chicago, and at the age of 18, they handed him his very first assignment: to track down an ancient as old as time itself who sailed from Greece decades before his assignment. Any demon over 500 years old was considered ancient because demon usually didn't live that long, and this one was well over that age. It wasn't long until the ancient had tracked him down to his apartment in Los Angeles, off La Brea and Santa Monica Avenue. He had walked into his apartment near midnight to see a female demon standing in his living room, examining his plants in the windowsill. She had long, curly, dark hair, oval eyes, and smooth skin. Her lips were full with a pink hue. He saw a circular tattoo that only minions were branded with on her upper right arm. Usually minions were branded on their wrists when they were considered property of another demon. Dressed in a long evening gown, appropriate for a woman about the town, she turned to him and smiled. Her feet seemed to float over the cold wooden floor as she walked over to him. Nathan found himself lost in her trance. He had had sinister expectations for his first encounter with a demon, but she proved to be the opposite of what he learned as a young, promising student. She understood him, she respected him, and most importantly, she didn't threaten him. She addressed herself to him as Kira all the while, letting him know that she would never harm him unless he gave her reason to. She revealed that she knew of him through his father, who had helped her in her past. She also became used to researchers following her for as long as she could remember. It wasn't a problem for her, as long as they didn't interfere. She had revealed everything about her history to him, and she made Nathan promise her that he wouldn't tell anyone about her arrival. She was the oldest Romanga alive, and before leaving him to go into hibernation, a deep sleep for demon, she promised that she would return to him in time. Days later, a new Brotherhood chapter had sprung up in Minneapolis, and along with Veronica's father, Nathan settled in the city. By that time, Kira had disappeared, and he thought he'd never hear from her again until a few nights ago when his phone rang in his study. His body tingled when he heard her soft voice over the phone, yet this time, her voice was filled with urgency. She needed him to come to Chicago, offering to pay for the first flight that he could take. Without hesitation, he took the offer, hoping that she wasn't in trouble. A black limo pulled up in front of Nathan, making an abrupt stop. The tires skidded along the street and the side door opened. Nathan grabbed his suitcase and stepped in, closing the door behind him as the limo pulled off. He sat across from her. A thin black veil covered her face, and it matched a long black dress. Nathan began to think that she never wore anything different. Kira. He felt his lips curl into a wide smile. How long has it been? Ages. She lifted up her veil. Her face still resembled the same woman Nathan remembered seeing in his apartment decades ago, except that now her curly hair was cut short. Nathan admired her beauty. You've grown older. Her oval brown eyes sparkled. They rapidly focused in and out, sometimes changing to the ever noticeable black that all demon had. You remind me of your father. She bit her lower lip. Nathan wouldn't object. No matter how much her beauty caught his breath, being sired as one of them wasn't worth the risk. You look as beautiful as ever. She flashed a weak smile. On the outside, yes, but on the inside. She placed her hand over her chest. I hurt every day. You've cut your hair since the last time I saw you. She combed her fingers through her curly strands. I always cut my hair after waking from hibernation. But now I wished I would have kept it. The long hair helps shield the thoughts of Daimon around me. What's troubling you? She closed her eyes. I heard him cry and scream and moan. He's never done that. He's never called out for my help. Who? His cries woke me up from my hibernation. She lowered her hand. Things have grown worse since I fell asleep. This is not the same world I left decades ago. Yes, the world has changed. This city has grown larger and there are more people. No, no, not that, she interrupted. Not the human world, but my world. I thought that this problem was solved years ago. I was wrong. A lot had changed, and Nathan hoped to explain it to her in time. He couldn't comprehend her sensitivity. Being one of the oldest demon he knew, older than Anastasia, Kai, and Celine combined, her senses heightened themselves to a point that she felt every demon emotion around her. Her eyes carried the imprints of places and people that Nathan could only dream about viewing. What problem? Nathan asked. Who woke you? I felt his anger, her soft voice carried. I felt his rage. Kira's voice grew louder. His thoughts told me that they are searching for me. Who? Nathan rubbed his chin. As with many elders, Kira resorted to hibernation to pass the time. It wasn't a new concept. Nathan knew of many demon who had done the very same thing. Hibernation left their bodies vulnerable, so they chose crypts, gravesites, and caves to protect them. But Kira still heard everything around her. She knew what was going on. Lucius betrayed him. Lucius! What does he have to do with this? Everything. Who did he betray? Sylvanus. Her eyes locked on Nathan. He betrayed Sylvanus. Her eyes widened. My body aches for him, Nathan. I miss him already. You have always felt for demon, Kira, Nathan replied. You are different from many that I've met. Maybe that is why I'm the fool. She looked out the tinted windows of the limo. Sylvanus trusted them, and for that, he paid with his life. Nathan paused at the revelation. At first he thought he misheard her. Lucius killed Sylvanus. Are you sure? The corner of her lips turned downward. I have no doubt. Nathan crouched to the floor of the limo and he moved over to her. When did this happen? He sat next to her and placed his palm over her own. Oddly enough, her body was warm. She had just fed. A few days ago, in your city. She cocked her head to the side. Demon sense what is coming. Lucius will kill so many just trying to free them. Who is he trying to free? Nathan didn't understand her statement. His mind filled with questions, and he began to stutter with his next response. The very first demon to walk the earth, she replied. The ones who rot in limbo. Nathan leaned back and his mind began to go into overdrive. Pure ones. I can hear Lucius in my head. Kira placed her hands on top of her head. He is corrupted by their blood. It circles his veins, invading his body and mind. She looked at him. Throughout the centuries, I've never heard any demon cry as loudly as Sylvanus did to me. He tried to warn me. Nathan felt his voice drop, and all he could do was stare at Kira, watching her act out in her irate and weird behavior. Nathan couldn't fathom why Lucius would kill Sylvanus and what this all had to do with the pure ones in limbo. Kira shook her head. There is so much you don't know, she continued. So much history of the demon that your father kept from you to keep you safe. She frowned. You need to know everything now. She nodded to herself in her own affirmation. Yes, you will be the only human I shall share the history with. Nathan didn't understand what Kira had just said. His father didn't keep anything about the demon from him. He allowed Nathan to read his personal researcher files when Nathan was young. Your home is not safe. It is too dangerous now for you to go back to Minneapolis. Kira placed her hand on his cheek snapping him from his thoughts. Promise me you won't try to go back. Everything I have and know is in Minneapolis. I must go back sooner or later. He thought about Veronica and how she was alone with Anastasia, Remy, and Hallie. He knew they wouldn't do anything to hurt her, but if things were as bad as Kyra made it out to be, he had to go back to warn them. Lucius can't be trusted, Nathan. Kyra answered his thoughts. If you go back now, he will do great harm to you. Her eyes fluttered briefly. You must call the Brotherhood and let them know about this chaotic dilemma. I haven't communicated with them since I left the organization, Kyra. She placed her finger over his mouth to silence him. You must find a way to get in contact with them now, before it's too late, before Lucius comes looking for the tablet. Tablet? Her eyes drooped with concern. When Limbo spat Lucius from its womb, dark magic escaped along with him. It's this same magic that I've stopped before. Now it's loose, and I'm afraid Anastasia has been introduced to it. We must be on alert, Nathan. This strong magic is too dangerous to confront, even for someone as old as the ancients and myself. Your father helped me once. I need you to help me now. The drive from the O'Hare International Airport to the outskirts of Chicago took a little over an hour. Throughout the ride, Nathan viewed the passing scenery, enjoying the breathtaking view of the shipping yards along the edge of Lake Michigan and the suburbs that looks eerily familiar to the suburbs around Minneapolis. Kyra closed her eyes throughout the hour ride, leaving Nathan in absolute quietness. She didn't speak up once, but her body did quiver, pushing Nathan to ask if she was okay. She nodded and locked her fingers together, resting them on her lap. The limousine pulled off onto a patch of dirt road and began to pick up speed. Fields of decayed and dried long grass replaced the once mechanical environment around them. Nathan braced his body to the seat as the car drove over the bumpy road. Eventually, the ride became smoother and they approached a large red brick mansion that seemed to suddenly appear out of nowhere. The limo stopped and Nathan heard the driver's side door open and close. A tall and older white male, with brushy white eyebrows and long drooping ears, opened the door and held out his hand for Kyra to take. With her eyes still closed, she grasped his hand, and he helped her from the vehicle. He then extended his hand to Nathan, who climbed out of the car. Nathan circled around, eyeing the vast and open space. Like his own sanctuary, the building was secure in the middle of nowhere. In the distance, he viewed an old grain building that leaned to its right in a toppled stance. The horizon was brightening slowly, and he looked at his watch. It was almost sunrise. The driver escorted Kyra to the wooden front doors of the tall three-story mansion. Before opening the door, Kyra opened her eyes and looked back at Nathan, who still stood by the limo, mesmerized by the sheer vastness of the area around them. If you think this is breathtaking, you should see the inside. She opened the door. Your father loved this place. He spent a lot of time here. Once inside, Nathan dropped his bags on the floor. A glass chandelier hung overhead, each candle's light flickering from the slight breeze coming through the front door. Ahead, a staircase circled up to the second floor, where he saw Kyra standing in front of a plate glass window painted with pictures of flying fairies. Several pictures of Kyra throughout her existence hung along the walls along the staircase. One painting with an ornamental border depicted a vibrant, young Kyra wearing an ancient Roman stola dress with her locks pinned with white bone clips. Next to it was another painting of her in a long dress, standing next to Sylvanus, wearing a crown lined with jewels and a tunic dress. Two marble statue heads, one of Medusa and the other of a woman who also resembled Kyra, were to the right and left of the plate glass windows. You never told me you'd been in Rome, Nathan said. I met Sylvanus there for the first time, she proceeded up the steps. He was afraid of me then, as many of the demon there told him that I was cruel and strong. Yet we became best of friends, and he trusted me. Nathan stepped forward, looking to a hallway to his right and another hallway to his left. He followed her to the top landing and down another hallway. Demon used to come here from all over America, she spoke softly. Now this place sits empty, and there's nothing left but memories. Kira stopped near a candle holder, and she picked up a small box of matches lying next to it. She lit the candle and proceeded to the next, lighting that one as well. They made it down the hallway and turned right to two large wooden doors that towered over them. Kira opened the door and she escorted Nathan inside. The room was bright with high ceilings and large draping satin curtains. In the corner a piano sat, covered in a white sheet. On the left, Nathan viewed a fireplace and a human girl in a white dress, tending to the crackling fire. She turned and stood up straight and smiled at the presence of Kira. Upon seeing Nathan, she lowered her head and whispered a hello. "Is the room prepared?" Kira asked. The girl nodded. Kira turned and she placed her hand on Nathan's shoulder. "Please, sit." Kira pointed to a couch to the right and front of the fireplace. The human girl left the room and returned almost immediately with a platter full of snacks, appetizers, and water. She set them in front of Nathan on the coffee table, and she left the room. Nathan found the decor of her sanctuary pleasing to the eye. Kira had exquisitely placed her collections of artifacts, paintings, and other collectibles in perfect symmetry. It gave the room a relaxed feel, and he felt safe. She sat next to him and rested her arm on the back of the couch. She stared into the fire, and the orange hue reflected off her eyes, giving them a darker look. "You are safe here, Nathan," she said. "I can assure you that." "I don't doubt that, Kira," Nathan replied. "Your home is just, it's just amazing." Her lips pulled back in a wide smile, and she lowered her head. "My home represents me." "Then you are, my dear friend, an extraordinary woman." They heard faint footsteps approach from the hallway, and the door slowly creaked, opened. A teenage male with dark hair and mesmerizing green eyes stood in the doorway. Staring at Nathan, he cocked his head to the right. "Aiden, this is Nathan," Kira said. "Nathan, this is my dear friend, Aiden." Aiden stepped forward and stopped. Shirtless, he only wore tight-fitting blue jeans, which heightened his small and petite frame. He looked like a young demon. "He looks just like his father." Aiden's mouth slightly dropped open, and his tongue curled in his mouth. "You knew my father?" Nathan asked. "Yes. When I heard that he had died, I mourned him." His green eyes shifted to Kira. "The sun will be up soon, Kira." "Yes, but I won't sleep," she replied. "There is so much that I need to explain to Nathan." Aiden nodded. "I understand." He turned and left the room. Kira turned back to Nathan. "Aiden has been with me for over 100 years. He has been very loyal to me." "He looks very young." Kira shook her head. "Don't let his looks fool you. His history is much more complicated than mine." She repositioned himself. "I don't have the right to tell you his secrets. He can tell you when he feels ready." Nathan blinked rapidly and agreeing. He decided to keep his interest about Aiden in the furthest reaches of his mind, for now. After Lucius was released from limbo, Aiden became worried and woke me, telling me everything that had happened. Lucius has been the only demon to escape limbo, and I wondered why. Now that we know his true intentions, we aim to stop him. However, we can't stand up to him. He is too strong now. We are in strange times, yet again. "But you are the oldest known demon in the world, Kira. Certainly you're stronger than he is." She shook her head. "I may be older, but the dark magic inside him comes from the origin of demon. Even I can't protect myself or anyone else against power as old as that. Still, I have a responsibility to stop this madness, which I did years ago." She looked into his eyes. "That's why I need you to talk to your researchers in the Brotherhood. We might have to work with them to stop Lucius." Nathan bit his lower lip. "Even if I tried, Kira, they don't talk to ex-members and working with demon. That doesn't end up well."
"No,
They will talk to you when they understand the dangers Lucius brings to Demon and human alike, she replied. Only then will our minds not waver too far from a promising conclusion. Maybe I can talk to Lucius. I'm afraid not. There is too much darkness to wade through. She lowered her head in her hands. I tried to communicate with him, but he shunned me from his mind. That's when I felt it. She lifted her head. I felt the power. It was power that I haven't felt since I was sired eons ago. He blocked me, the oldest demon on the planet, with just a thought. Curious on what this dark, strong power was, Nathan leaned forward. Earlier you mentioned pure ones and a tablet. She nodded and her eyes widened. You must promise me first, Nathan. She placed her hand on his arm. Promise? You will try and get in contact with the human researchers and warn them about what is happening. Nathan nodded. I'll do everything in my power, Kira. I could force myself into your thoughts to see if you're lying. She removed her hand, and she gently placed it just slightly above her left breast. But I don't pry on my friends. I will never pry on your thoughts. You deserve that much and more from me. Her eyes softened and she blinked. Do you remember when I first met you? Yes. How could I forget? I was well past my prime then. Your researchers feared me. She lowered her head. But I knew that you would understand me. She looked to the ceiling, and her face drew a blank. I knew that your father never told you much about me. I didn't want him to. She closed her eyes. Demon are better than this, Nathan. I am better than this. Her face drowned in remorse. Kira, my own father once taught me that demon have no conscience, no remorse, and that they don't have souls. One day he recanted and told me that all things in this world, evil and good, are here for a purpose. Now, even though he didn't tell me much about you when I first met you, I suddenly knew that what he said was the truth. The last thing I would want in the world is for you to fear me. She confirmed her own affirmation. Are you not hungry? She looked to the platter of food on the table in front of them. No, not really. She closed her eyes, then reopened them. Seconds later, Nathan heard the door open, and the human girl walked in with her head slightly lowered. She picked up the tray and immediately left the room. There is something you're hiding from me, and you don't know it. She stared at him with gentle eyes. Your body is different. Weaker. Nathan flashed Kira a confused look. Any other time I would ask you, but now. It isn't important. Her voice trailed off. I must tell you everything now. Nathan smiled briefly, enchanted by her smooth, blemish-free skin and her eyes that danced along with the flicker of fire in the fireplace. Even the way her voice carried in the wind and the way her lips moved when she talked reminded him of his own mother, a strong, intelligent yet soft-spoken woman who was perfect in every way imaginable. I can sense the wrongs, and I fear that it may be too late. Kyra's sudden comment snapped Nathan from his thoughtful haze. Lucius is almost at his goal. He watched as she repositioned herself, and she rubbed her hands on her forearms. Looking slightly uncomfortable, she spoke again. What he is looking for is a tablet called the Dark Curse. Nathan nodded, unsure about what she had just said. The name didn't ring a bell. I've never heard of this before. Not many human have. She clasped her hands together. It has eluded both demon and human for centuries. The tablet contains the words which curse the pure ones to the dark and to limbo. It also contains a spell to break them out of limbo, and a spell that could possibly take away our weaknesses. A look of dejection filled her eyes. If we have no weaknesses that would make us truly immortal and too strong upon this planet, we need these weaknesses to keep us balanced, Nathan. We deserve these punishments, and the pure ones deserve to be trapped in limbo for eternity. Nathan sat back in his chair. Nowhere did the Brotherhood tell him the origins of the demon. Even his father, if he knew, kept the details of the demon's origins a secret. It angered him slightly, and at the same time, he wanted to know everything there was to know. The tablet was broken into two pieces, so that the spells would not be used, she sighed. Celine and Lucius seek to put them back together. Nathan thought for a moment. Why would Lucius and Celine want to free the very first demon ever to exist? What was in it for them? And if they were looking for the two pieces, why decimate sanctuaries along the way unless they were looking for someone? He glared at Kira and said in a whisper, "You have one of the pieces." "No, I don't." She leaned forward and her eyes gazed into his soul. "Lucius and Celine have already required one piece. Where is the other one?" "The Brotherhood had the other piece until your father took it." "My father?" Nathan shook his head. "When?" "A long time ago," she answered. "At that time, he and I both agreed that it was best for him to take it and hide it. He never told me any of this." Nathan remembered reading his father's journals several times, and he later boxed them up in the basement of his home. Some of them were caked full of information about demon, while others remained blank and unused. He tried to remember anything from what he read, something that could remind him of the piece his father stole, but he came up empty. He saw it in her eyes that she remained confident in what she revealed to him. Somewhere along the line, he must have skimmed over vital information. "He didn't tell you because he wanted to protect you," she said. "But you know your father as much as I do. He encrypted his writing. Somewhere in his journals is the location of the missing piece." "All of his journals, his writings, are at my home," Nathan replied. "If you want me to find them, I have to go back." "Not yet. You and I are the only ones who know that your father took the piece, and you need to keep it that way. But you must tell the Brotherhood about Lucius and Celine. The Brotherhood can't handle them." "Perhaps," she replied. "But it will give you some time to find the piece and take it away or destroy it." I don't know which one of my father's journals has the information you're looking for, or if he wrote it in his journals to begin with." She forced a weak smile on her face. "Your father was a smart, brilliant man, Nathan. He had his secrets and kept them hidden from you. Not because he didn't trust you, but because he knew the dangers it would bring to you. If Lucius and Celine find me, they will yank the information they need from my mind and then kill me. It's up to you to find a way to stop them if I can't." Nathan cocked his head to the side. "What information?" "I stole it from the mind of the only living descendant of the Kashapu who created Diman," she replied. "I'm one key to unlocking the Dark Curse, and there is another Diman who is the second key. Without us and the tablet, the pure ones will remain to rot in limbo where they belong."
Craving more dark supernatural fiction? Unlock early access to narrated chapters, exclusive lore, and behind-the-scenes secrets from the Demon Chronicles. Only on Patreon. Join the darkness now at patreon.com/IsaianMorrison.